dimension of Bali Rabba Yimatse, which is how we relate to Pikadon and Milve. Remember, there's an entire discussion of Daf Hei Amud Beis about Bal Yatmin, Bal Yikabel Pikdonos, in terms of Matsui, that wouldn't fall under the rubric of Bali Ra, because Bali Ra is really Bailos oriented. But it's very, very, very important to take into account the different dimensions of Pikadon and Halva and Mashko and all the things we're going to talk about today. So I think I've mentioned this to you, Ilan, Kivi, I don't know if you've heard me say this, that we're not actually up to there just yet in Iyun Shir, but there's a major point of distinction between the Rambam and the Ramban, and other Rishonim, but those are the two sort of poles. The Rambam focuses very heavily on Bailus when it comes to Bali Ra Bali Matze. Harehu Kishalo, Bali Ra is dominant, and the Ramban, if you will, is Bali Matze dominant. In other words, Bailus is necessary, but it's not sufficient. So Ilan, just remind us, what's the sort of the counterpart to Bailus? It's not just about formal ownership, but what would the term in Lamdus be?
Rishus.
So Rishus means, not only am I the actual owner of this, but whose jurisdiction does this fall under? Who has, let's say, practical control? And that's a very important issue. So we're going to talk about the case of the Chanos today. So a Chanos is a really, really, really good example. Because when it comes to a store, let's say it's owned by some, you know, corporate investor in San Francisco. They've never been to the store, but, you know, they crunch the numbers, right? So that's the Bailus. Now, let's talk about the Rishus. Who would that be? The store manager? Well, the store manager might be there sometimes, or is it the workers? Yeah, Kivi, go ahead.
Wouldn't the Machlokes Bailus versus Rishus also be like the Machlokes Rashi Tosfos on Beis?
Well, that's a little bit of a different question about the nature of Bali Ra and Bali Matze in general. But I think the best way to think about it is, how do we privilege Bali Ra versus Bali Matze? And we'll see that come up. So this comes up every single year in terms of, you know, Chamei Tshavah Lava Pesach, which determined Mipaskin like Rabbi Shimon is a Knas. So when you deal with corporations, so the question is, you know, is it a Jewish-owned corporation? So how do you try to figure that out? Right, Nabisco. Are you talking about, you know, the shareholders? You know, it's a publicly traded company. Are you talking about the CEO? Are you talking about the management? Are you looking at Rove? It's a very hard thing to figure out how exactly we're going to measure the issue of Bailos and Rishus when it comes to these kinds of entities. It's easy if it's a private person. So again, we're going to talk about all of these dimensions. One more issue to be makdim has to do with the very nature of a milva itself. So when you have a halva, so you have a malva and a lova, and Reuven lends Shimon $1,000, right? And Shimon, either b'shas halva or shalo b'shas halva, we'll see Tosos in a second, has to give some kind of a collateral. Let's say there's no arev, there's no guarantor, so he's going to have to give some kind of a collateral. So what is that status of the mashkon in the interim? Do we say the mashkon is kanoi or it's not kanoi? So that's a machlokes, and there's a shitas Rabbi Yitzchak that we'll encounter today, which is very, very important. So all of these are general shas topics, but they have particular implications for chametz. But chametz, we can talk about either raising the bar or lowering the bar. And that has to do with the nature of Bali Ra Bali Matze itself. The more that you think that Bali Ra Bali Matze is a gzera d'oraisa, we're really concerned about achila, in some ways the more makel you're going to be, as long as you're dissociated from the chametz in terms of practical access, right? There's no real chashash that you're going to get anywhere near the chametz, because it's hirhino eitzel nachri, right? If that's your approach, the gzera d'oraisa kind of an approach, you could be extra makel in chametz relative to kol ha-Torah kula. On the other hand, you might be machmir in chametz relative to kol ha-Torah kula, because you might say, well, it comes to chametz, you know, unlike kol ha-Torah kula, where we're evaluating bailus, you know, is there a kinyan on this mashkon? But by chametz, bailus itself might not actually be the standard. We might be willing to lower the standard because you have access and control over it. So again, there are both kulas and chumras that are very relevant. So let's take a look at the Mishnah, and we'll proceed through the case. Okay. So nachri shelves Yisrael chamzo achar pesach motzer behanoa. So that's remarkable. Even though the Jew has formal title to this chametz, right? The fact of the matter is that it's considered to be chametz shel nachri shavrala b'pesach, and therefore it's mutter b'na. V'yisrael shel hilva es nachri al chamtso achar pesach aser b'na. So Rashi comments on the Mishnah, you know, Gemara moki luk sharhino etzel v'veso v'shel etzel nachri kol yimos ha-pesach. The came on zmate v'lo pere, you didn't pay, v'mechusar guvayna nami lo hava, sharei etzlo nasun, it was in the Nachri's possession, iglai milsa l'mefrei, the bishai sharino etzlo, hava didei. Now, hava didei, does that mean that it equates to bailus, that it was really the Nachri's, or that you don't really need bailus because the Nachri had full control over it? And what does that mean if, you know, we could only figure that out l'mefrei after the Jew doesn't pay up his loan, so the Nachri gets to keep all of the chametz of the Israel. So if Mar Balchov, Abayam the Mafreya Gover Rav Mikan al Haba who gova. So call he chadik the shleva zabine kule amalo pligi de is milve dasi malva rather dasi malva betare fasi malva uparek the tan mosif o dinar upades and echasim ho elu he pligi de zabin malva vekadish malva. Abayam the Mafreya who gova came the matas mani below pireg like most of the Mafreya mikarabu should say have a kai. V'shaper ikdish v'shaper zavin v'rav amar mikana l'haba hu gove kevan di'ilu hava le'zuzeh hava misalik le'zuzeh ishtachach dahashta kakani. Okay, so you have a machlokes abayi v'rava, and the Gemara says, here's what they're not disputing. They're not disputing that if I have an outstanding debt and I take something and I want to be makdish it and I want to sell it, that the malva has every right to access that. Right? That's what we call the shibud. He has a lien on anything that I transact from this point on, because he is my creditor. Rav and Abaye don't dispute that point at all. And even if I'm makdish it, at the risk of being mivaza hekdesh, all he has to do to get out of hekdesh is to be, you know, poded on a very small amount. Rashi says, "Bidvar muat kedei shelo yomru hekdesh yotzei b'lo pidyon." Abaye and Rav aren't challenging the fundamentals of shibudim. But there is a machlokes of what happens if the malve gets a little bit jumpy, and the malve is starting to look over the love's, you know, financials, and he says, this guy's never going to pay me back. So the question is, let's say he jumps the gun, and there's still time, let's say the love has 6 months left to pay him, but the malve is pretty, you know, convinced that the love is not going to pay him, and he's makdish, or he's mazbin. So what happens in that situation? That's a machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Ki pligi de zavin malve v'kadish malve Abaye mar lemafreya hu gove. So Abaye said, well, he had the right to do that lemafreya if he's never paid up, and Rava says he can't really do that. So mi amar Rava hachi, does Rava really say that the malve doesn't have access to it? Doesn't Rava really agree that once the lova doesn't pay up, really the malve was in possession the whole time? Mi amar Rava hachi, so it's going to be a little bit of a complicated case, but the principle that emerges is very straightforward. Say Reuven has financial issues of his own, but he's selling a field to Shimon, probably unloading it because he needs liquid assets, but he has a Baal Chov. So he makes a sale to Shimon. Shimon says, the only way I'm going to do business with you and give you these liquid assets, I'm going to pay you for your field, is if you take Achrayus. In other words, if you take responsibility that if one of your creditors comes along and wants to take the field, that you're going to pay me for it. Okay, so Shimon makes the deal. But now here's the complication of the story. Shimon has financial problems also, and he doesn't have enough assets to pay Reuven. So both of them have problems, okay? And therefore, Shimon, who buys the fields, kafan alav b'milva. Would have been smarter for Reuven to find Levi to deal with, who actually had assets. But what he does is that he hands Reuven a shtar that basically says, I owe you the $100,000 for this field. So Meis Reuven, now Reuven dies, V'asa Baal Chov de Reuven, and Levi comes along, to whom Reuven owns money, V'tarif Lemi Shimon, and he grabs, right, the Sadeh from Shimon, V'asa Shimon, and Shimon comes along and says, don't take the Sadeh that I bought from Reuven, but take this document, to P.S.A. Bezuze. He tells Levi, you know what, don't take the sada, but I'll give you this. And what he's able to give him is zuzim, actual assets, not the karka itself. So dinahu, the asi b'nei Reuven, so at that point, b'nei Reuven, Reuven's own kids can come along V'amrile l'shimon, anan metaltle shavok avun gabach, u'metaltle diyasmi l'bal chov lo mishtabdi. So they have a right to say to Shimon, we'll see in a second that Shimon has recourse as well, is that, wait a second, right? It's true that our father had outstanding debts to Levi, but in the end of the day, you owed our father metaltlin, right? You never paid for the field, okay? And therefore, that was not subject to the shibud to Levi. Metaltlin diyasmi lebal chov lo mishtabdi. So Amar Rava, ipikeach Shimon, so if Shimon's smart, migari lu ara, v'hadar gavi la minayhu. So what he should do is say, okay, fine, take some land, and then he should be able to take the land back from the Yisomim. Dam Rav Nachman Yisomim shegavru karka b'chovas aviyem bal chov chozer v'gova usan mehem. He would have the right to take the karka, because karka was mishubad in the lifetime of the father. Okay, so again, a little bit of a complex case, but it comes to this very straightforward point. Iyamar bishlam l'mafreya hu gove. If you'll say that, you know, the Bal Chov really had a kinyan l'mafreya, into lahachi chozer v'gova osa mehen. That's why Shimon can take his land back from them. D'mikan, d'chaman, excuse me, d'gavu mechayim d'avuhon dami. It's because it was as if it existed, this lien, in the time of the father. Eliyam ar mikan lahaba hu gove. But if you'll say that he's really taking it from the Yisomim and not from the father, amai chozer v'gova osa mehen, havi kiman d'zavin yisami nechzi dami. It's as if the Yisomim themselves did it. V'ilu kani yisami nechzi dami. And where's the shibud? Mika mishtabi lebal chov. We don't see any shibud to the bal chov in such a case. So the Gemara says, well, it's true that Rava's mode on that point, but that doesn't prove anything about the general halacha. Shaini hasan damr lo ki hechi de mishtabadna le avuchon mishtabadna nami lebal chov de avuchon. Rava can still maintain that in general, that it's mikanu lahaba, that the malva really only has the kinyan going forward, but any time that you're dealing with nichse diasmi, there's always a connection to the father. He can always say ki hechi de mishtabana le avuchon mishtabani nami lebal chov de avuchon. So Rashi has an interesting comment about that, just to explain, what the logic behind that is. Shani hasam damlu ki hechi de mishtabana avuchon mishtabani nami lebal chov de avuchon. We'll see the Rav Nasan proof in a second. The Olam Mikan Lahaba Hu Gova. Then in general, Rava really does hold Becholat Torah Kula that it's Mikan Lahaba. Umay Damer Rav Nachman Bi Alma Balchov Chozer VeGova Osam Mehen Mishum De Amarlan Balchov VeYisomim Mikolach Mi Basem VeGavisem Karkazo. In whose name were you coming to collect this field? Mikolach Shibud Shal Avichen. It's only because I hadn't yet paid your father for it. Right, that was the whole idea. It was a kafan alav b'milva, that Shimon was unable to pay Reuven for the field. V'chihechi d'mishtabana l'avuchan karka zo shalova, shalova me'avichen, mishtabana nami l'didi, shahaysa milva, shahisi malva shalavichen. V'amechuyav lo klum mishuabad li. So basically, what he says is, look, it's true that I never paid your father for the field. That is an accurate thing. But the reality is that the reason that Levi came along and tried to take the field from me, and instead I paid him off, cash or other assets, is because there's a connection that exists through your father. So, Levi wouldn't be coming to bother me if it wasn't for your father. So it may very well be true that as a general rule, Mitatli asked me the Baal Chov lo mishtabdi, but the only reason that I got into this problem to begin with, Shimon has the right of saying to the Yisomim Shel Reuven, is because Levi had a connection to your father, and I have a connection to your father. So that's the sense of this line. Shani Hasam de Amar Luhu, Shimon says to the Yisomim of Reuven, ki hechi de mishtabadna le avuchon, mishtabani nami le Baal Chov de avuchon. Okay, so that basically, the Baal Chov of your father, the reason that he can come to me is because of the fact that I was your father's milva. Okay. Or malva, excuse me. The Rabbi Nasan, Tani Rabbi Nasan Omer, this ties into a more general point. Minayin l'nosha b'chaveiro mana v'chaveiro b'chaveiro shemotzin mizev nosan l'zeh. Tamil Omer, this is in the parish of Gezel Hager, v'nasan l'asher asham lo. Rashi has a diak, what is l'asher asham lo? L'asher Hilvahu lo neemar, elo lasher hashamlo, Lasher HaKeren Shelo. Okay, so basically the situation is, Shimon owes Reuven $100 and Levi owes Shimon $100. So Reuven should just collect it from Levi and not from Shimon. Lasher HaSham, though, even though Reuven and Levi never had a direct relationship. So again, the Balei Tosfos, by the way, say we do paskin like that way. Rava and Rabbi Nasan have a line, so we paskin like Shitas Rav Nasan. So we have a very important halacha that emerges from all this, and then we'll come back to Chametz in just a moment, that you can hold that anytime there's a transaction between a creditor and a debtor, the creditor doesn't become the owner of anything until the chov is officially unpaid. And yet, when it comes to Nichsei D'Yasmi, there is a formal connection which is established between the creditor of the father, in this case, Shimon, who also happened not to pay Reuven. That's a separate story of Zakaf and Alav B'Milva, but the creditor of the father and the Yisomim. Okay, so Tanan, the Gemara looks to get back into the question of Chametz. Nachri Shehilva is Yisrael Chemzo. If you'll say that the Nachri really took possession prior to Pesach when he took the Chametz, that's perfect. That's why it's not considered Chametz Shavar LePesach. But if you'll say that the Nachri really only comes the owner of this Chametz after Pesach, so the Gemara says, it was in the possession of Nachri. But afal pichein, who's to say that's enough to establish it as a chametz shel nachri? Lema ketanoi, should be machlokes tanoi, mishol shel benachri al chametz lachar bezken over, mishum, Reb Meir amru over, so machlokes chacham Reb Meir, my love, hakam mefugi, mar sabar lemafri hu gova, mar sabar mikana lahava hu gova, it all depends on when you think possession of the chametz was transferred, vitiz brema seifa, nachri shel benachri al chametz lachar bezken rekol over, v'ayib chumi ba'yalei, it should be the opposite, the man damar hasamin over, hacha over, over. How could everybody agree about the Seifa if there's this disagreement about the Reisha? It's exactly the same case, but just in the parallel direction. One of the cases is where is the Jew's Chametz in the home of the non-Jew. The other one is the non-Jew's Chametz in the home of the Jew. So you got to be Chayiv in one of the cases. How could it be that everybody's really in agreement that in one of the cases in the Seifa that there's not going to be any issue of Chametz Shavar Lo Pesach? So the Gemara has to evaluate what's going on here? Lahachma yaskinan kigon shahinur in utzlo v'kamifugid barb yitzchak da'ama rabbi yitzchak minayin the balchov shekona mashkon shenamar l'chat yetz daka imeno kona mashkon staka minayin mikan the balchov shekona mashkon tanakama sabar hani mele yisrael be yisrael. That's only when it comes to intra-Jewish transactions that the balchov actually acquires the collateral hu dekarinan be l'chat yetz daka val yisrael minachri. But a Jew does not acquire the mashkon of the Nachri. Lo kani. Reb Meir sever kal v'chomer. Yisrael miYisrael kani. If a Jew can acquire a Jew's collateral even before the loan has expired, Yisrael miNachri lo kol shekein. Obviously, the Torah is going to grant a Jew greater access to a Nachri's financial assets than to a Jew's. Aval Nachri shehilva is Yisrael chamso achar Pesach divrei hakol. This is why there's no machlokes. Over Hasam Vadai Nachmi Yisrael Glokani, that a Jew retains the possession of his collateral even if it's in the non-Jew's domicile throughout Pesach. Okay, so this Shita of Rabbi Yitzchak is a very fascinating Shita, and it's based on a diak in the pasuk of Lecha Tietzdaka, that you've committed an act of righteousness when you return whatever the Ksus Laila is to the Ani. Just to read the pasuk, this is again from Parshas Kisetze. Hashem Tashivlo Esavot Kibo Hashemesh V'Shachav B'Salmaso V'Rachachol Chatiyat Zdaka Livnei Hashem Elkacha. So again, the proof of the Gemara is, if it wasn't yours, it wouldn't be some great act of righteousness. So it only makes sense to say L'Chatiyat Zdaka, that you giving the mashkon back to this ani on a nightly basis, so that B'Mei Yishkav is an act of tzedaka. If you assume that the mashkon is actually in the possession of the malva of the creditor. Okay, so we have these really interesting distinctions between Yisrael mi Yisrael, Yisrael mi Nachri, v'Nachri mi Yisrael. So the Balei Tosfos point out something very important. But the Rabbi Yitzchak HaMiflagi, hopefully somebody will tell me this svara, they say Rabbi Yitzchak actually only really believes that you take possession of the mashkon, that is the malva takes possession of the mashkon, if it's shelo b'shas halva. Who can explain why that makes sense? So if it's b'shas halva, you don't really take possession of the mashkon. And then the Balei Tosfos ask Akasha, this is the case of Yisrael Shehilva Es Nachri Al Chimtso, or vice versa, Nachri Shehilva Es Yisrael Al Chimtso. It sounds like it was Bishas Halva. There should be no transfer of ownership of the mashkon. Why does it make sense for Rabbi Yitzchak to limit Kinyan HaMashkon to a case of Shelo Bishas Halva? If it's Bishas Halva, what should everybody assume? What's the natural... Oh, Eitan, you look interesting tonight. It's a cool effect. My kids taught me about that. Okay.
I'm just outside, Rabbi, that's all.
Oh, okay. I thought you had, like, gone ghost on us. Okay. Anybody can explain what's the Svara? KD, you got a Svara? Zev? Ghost? Avi? Ilan? Okay, so it's pretty... If you sort of put yourself in that situation, it'll immediately make sense. So let's say Reuven is lending Shimon $1,000, right? And at the time of the loan, a mashkon, he says, okay, whatever, you take my radio. Okay, so Reuven now takes possession of the radio. What's the expectation? Nothing's gone wrong yet. Shimon's going to pay back Reuven. So if it's Bishas Halva, you don't make a kinyan on the mashkon. But if it's a month later, right, and again, it was a 3-month loan, so nothing's gone wrong yet, but it's been a month, so suspicions are starting to build up, and then Reuven goes over to Shimon and says, you know, we stipulated in the agreement that I could take a collateral. I'm going to take it now, right? That's much more of a kinyan. That's Shitas Rabbi Yitzchak, right? But in any event, it should be irrelevant to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is Yisrael Shelva Es HaNachri Al Chimtso, or Nachri Shelva Es Yisrael Al Chimtso, right? That's clearly Bishas Halva. So take a look at the answer the Balei Tosfos give, which is absolutely vital. So the Balei Tosfos explain, Yesh Lomer Dehachi Perush, this is Tosfos of Rabbi Yitzchak HaNifligi, Kevan DeShelo Bishas Halva, Kona Lagamrei, K'di Rabbi Yitzchak, Im Kein Nin Chameitz Yishlana Dechoshro Ki'ilu Shelo, Lavor Belo Yimotze, not Bali Ra, it's not yours, Av Bishas Halva Dechashvin Anle Matsui. So Tosfos is saying something extraordinary. Tosfos is saying, you're right. This isn't the case of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak teaches us about the case of Bishas Halva, that ownership of the mashkon is transferred. But mid Rabbi Yitzchak nishma to our case. Because if Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that a mashkon Bishas Halva is actually a kinyan, so that means Shelo Bishas Halva, even if it's not exactly a kinyan, what is it? It's still matsoi to you. So if the only lav were bal yira, there would be no violation. But exactly, because of lecha. But this is still considered matzui. And once it's bal yimatze, minayin litenes amr shel zebazah, veshel zebazah, lecha lecha. That's an amazing idea. That it crosses the threshold, not of bal yira, but of bal yimatze. And then, of course, you have the trigger mechanism, okay? So that's a very important point. Now, what's the other nafka mina? This is actually going to be a shas topic. We were just talking about this last week. We were talking about the, you know, esin and the lavin of tzedakah. So one of the lavin of tzedakah we know has to do with shmitas ksofim. Lo yigoses reo v'esachiv ki kara shmita l'ashem. So there's a general exception to shmitas ksofim b'mil v'alamashkon. You're not allowed to pressure somebody, right, Ilan, to collect the loan. But let's say the loan is basically already collected. What do you mean the loan's collected? If it's collected, you wouldn't be pressuring him. So you'd say, well, it's really like, you know, I already have it. Why? Because I have collateral. So take a look at what the Balei Tosfos say. That's not subject to remission in the Shemitah. Bishas Halva Nami Mikre Shalachicha Biyadecha. Lo Yigoses Reo Ves Achiv Ki Kara Shmita L'Hashem, for a milva that you have no control over. The halva is totally in his hands. But if it's already Biyadecha, you're not, you know, pressuring him to pay up something, quote unquote, that he hasn't yet paid, right? Because you already have Shalachicha Biyadecha. That's an extremely, extremely important point. Let's go a little bit further in terms of Rabbi Yitzchak and Konim Mashkon. So the significance of the Baal Chov, of the Malveh being Kohen of the Mashkon, is that it also triggers, according to Rashi, both here and above a Metziah, Chiyav Achrayus. Chiyav Achrayus, not just in the case of Pshia, Gzele V'Aveda, like a Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Sachar, but like a Shoel, even in Unsin. Tosus disagrees with that. But if you take a look at Rashi here, he thinks that's Shitas Rabbi Yitzchak. Take a look. Kone Mashkon, Kol Yimei Havah Mashkon Kanaloi, Vimnenas Chai Ba'onsin, there you have it. She'inu la'lo kishon berchinam lo shon bishal achar, she'pturi ba'onsin, ala kulo birshusal, uvishmiraso omeid. Yeah. Tosus disagrees. Perishe kundris kone mashkon le'inin chiv unsin, v'ri omer ba'omnin, sochar sa omnin, mashkon de'lo avi le'shon bishachar. That you're not chayev on unsin, you'd be shomer sachar, so you'd be chayev gnevet on veda. Dilvala mashkon shomer sachar by the name of Hassan, gemara the sachar like Rabbi Yitzchak, Vekula shmaisa chem social nachar biad Yisrael Iri shelo kibel lav Yisrael achrayus di kibel because it was a case of kabbalas achrayus full kabbalas achrayus even beunsin harem shelo veover lav. So what's Tosus saying? No, if you really think that there's a chi of unsin, then it's harehu shelo, and it wouldn't even be a question of bal yimatze, but it would already be obviously crossing the threshold of bal yirah. Okay. Very interesting. It's not Nachri Shalov Yisrael Chem So Achar Pesach Mitzvah Rano Anihi Nami Derhino Etzlo Ha'amar Nachri Shalov Kani Lo Kasha Demar Lemi Achshav Lo Amar Lemi Achshav. Situation, just make an easy okim that the Nachri said, you take the possession of the Chametz Mi Achshav, I don't pay you back. So that's what's going to make it an Isser Hano Chametz Shav Lo Pesach Eknas according to Rabbi Shimon. Umin Asem Et Hashani Ben Heichad Amar Mi Achshav Mi Heichad Lo Amar Mi Achshav Tani Nachri Shirin Pas Purani. Rashi explains that's not the standard bread, but it's the huge bread. Eitzel Yisrael over. V'imam lo higaticha. But if he says, you basically, that's a form of me'achshav over. Ma'ishna reisha ma'ishna seifa lav shma mina. Shani heicha dam le'me'achshav. The heicha delo am le'me'achshav shma mina. Okay, fine. So again, if you say me'achshav, so that's, you know, more than enough of an indication that you've already taken possession. Tanu Rabban, chanesh al Yisrael. So the store is Jewish owned. Meloy shel Yisrael, the produce is Jewish owned. Upo'ale nachrim nichnasim l'sham. Chamech shenim shasam achar pesach chaser bena'a. Ve'in tzarech lomar be'achila. Chamech shen nachrim meloy shen nachrim. Upo'ale Yisrael nichnasim yodzim sham. Chamech shenim shasam achar pesach mutar be'achila. Ve'in tzarech lomar be'ana'a. So what was the havamina? It's obvious. Right? Or not. So that's what I was saying at the beginning. Because you have the situation where you have a chanos, right? Jewish-owned chanos. Produce is owned by the Jew. That's also, by the way, one of the very complicated issues that comes up with the supermarket. So who are the suppliers? It's like a major bread distribution company called C&S, which apparently is a Jewish-owned company, and that's what creates problems even in supermarkets that are not owned by Jews. That is Chametz Shel Yisrael. The suppliers brought it in over Pesach. There are sales that go on now. But the Rav was machmir against Rav Moshe on those quote-unquote sales of chametz. He said it was a little bit of a chukot tlula. People are still transacting the chametz. It shows that they didn't take the sale really that seriously. Okay, so I need a little practical rabbinics for chametz shavar la Pesach. But what was the havamina here? The havamina is quite obvious, that even if it's a Jewish-owned store and the produce is that of Jews, if you have what we call Yad Nachri Ba'emtza, and we talked about that with Chala, like Ariso Seichem. So if we have a situation where the people who have practical access to this are non-Jewish workers, like you have in many Jewish stores, non-Jewish workers, they're the ones who really have practical control over the Chametz, maybe it's not subject to Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. Maybe the Jew is often Arizona for Pesach. The Cholapachos, he's in Florida. Probably Arizona. Maybe Puerto Rico. So he's not around. And the suppliers, the produce, right, the way that stores work, so they're not around. So is this really Matsui? So that's why the Gemara has to discuss it. Okay. Mishnah, Chametz Shenafal of Mapolas Harei Kimavuar. Very fascinating thing. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer kol shein hakelav yachol lechapes achrav. Anybody remember what that shear is? Shlosha tvachim. Love it. Okay. So Gemara says, Amrav Chista v'tzarech shivatel b'libo. That's strange. If it's kimavuar, so why do you have to do bittel? Rashi, Shema yifakeach hagal b'moed v'nimtza over alav. What's a little surprising about that, Rashi? So we understand, you know, maybe somebody's going to roll the boulder off. Maybe Yaakov Avinu from this week's parsha is going to come along and roll the boulder off, and the chametz will no longer be mevuar. But why is this Rashi still surprising? Ilan, go ahead.
Because in Daf Vav Amud Beis, Rashi said you have to mishar.
Yeah, here it sounds automatic. Here it sounds automatic. Shemi Yimtzak Luska Yafa V'dayitei Lave means that you need to have some connection, which is restored. Okay. Here it says Shema Yifakeach Hagal B'moed V'nimtza Over Alav. So Amrav Chitza B'tzarech Shivata L'Gabutana Kama Chapisa Sakelev Shlosha Tvachem Amrav Nirvachar B'Dav Yosef Ravash Yadam Ar Shmuel K'savim Ein Lam Shmir Ala B'Karka Miba Inan Shlosha Tvachem Olam. So we're trying to figure out this is a Chametz Halacha, is this a Din Prati, or is this a Din Klali? So K'savim Ein Lam Shmir Ala B'Karka Mi ba'inan shlosha tvachim olo. Do we still need this shiur of shlosha tvachim? So Rashi says, k'savim shal pikadon, einam shmira ala bekarka. Now again, there's all kinds of nafkamina here in terms of responsibility for pshia, for geneva, for aveda. Right? So if you have pikadon and you want to say, no, I did a shmira me'ula, I did everything possible, I shouldn't be responsible for what happened to it, so where is kesef considered secure? So elam el shmir al bekarka v'lon asan al bekarka v'avdu pshia yetzlo v'chayev neshomer chinam chayev pshia. That's considered a form of pshia unless you put them into the ground. So do they have to be literally, you know, kimufuwar shlosha tvachim into the ground? That's the question of the Gemara. Ksafim elam shmir al bekarka v'lon shlosha tvachim alo shem lehacha mishum reicha. They just have to be one tefach and not shlosha tvachim into the ground. So it is a specific din, it's a din prati by chametz, that shlosha tvachim is kimavur, mishum reicha shekelev mericho umichatito umotzi'o. Rashi explains that the kelev will have access to it. So this can be understood really in one of two ways. We say that to be kimivuar dami, and therefore not subject to the iser bal yirah bal yamatzeh, it has to be covered, you know, by a boulder at least three tvachim down. And it says because otherwise the kelev, with their olfactory prowess, will be able to smell it and dig it out. So you can understand that in very practical terms. Maybe that's a simple way of understanding it. And if the kelev can dig it out, so that's already a problem of, you know, bal yirah bal yimatzeh. That's why the Gemara says, v'tzarech levat lo belibo, because it's something which is retrievable. On the other hand, you might say, we're not really actually so worried about a kelev coming along and doing this. Right. Let's say you don't own a dog. Let's say nobody you know owns a dog. So it doesn't sound like it's pretty realistic that a kelev is going to be able to get in there. So you could argue that this is actually just a formal shiur in halacha. And it's not the only shiur when it comes to, you know, chametz that a kelev is involved in, right? In Oroi, v'achilas kelev. Remember we talked about that in terms of Tumas Ochlin, where we explained that the chalos shame ochlin is yored once it's roi lachilas adam ve'eno nifka until the point where it's eno roi lachilas kelev. So what we're really saying here is we're not concerned that Lassie is going to come along and actually dig this out. That's not what we're really worried about in terms of bali rabba yimatze. What we're actually concerned about is the idea that the theoretical existence of a kelev who would be able to access this means that it really isn't kimavuar damya. Chametz, which is mavuar, means that it's completely destroyed. And the fact that it be within reach of a kelev is just like saying that as far as the Isser Achila is concerned, that it continues to be relevant, ad she'en aray l'achilas kelev. It's just establishing a theoretical outer boundary. It's not kimavuar if a kelev would be able to access it. So again, there's a pragmatic reading of this, and then a more formalistic or conceptual reading of what the Shlosha Tvachim is all about. But in any event, the Gemara is clearly mechalik between what constitutes a Shmira Me'ula by Dine Shomer Chinam, Dine Shmira, and the Dine of Chametz, which are going to be more Machmir than the Dine of Shomer Chinam, saying that I was not a Poshea. Okay, very good. So just to review, the essential question that we evaluated today was a question of what constitutes the violation of Bai Rabba Imatse in the context of a halva. We have two possible owners, a Nachri or Yisrael. And we established that there is great significance to the location of the Chametz, Hirhino Etzlo, but even that's not quite enough to figure out who was the owner. It really depends on how we conceptualize these kinds of transactions in the context of a loan. L'mafreya, or mikan l'haba, machlokes between Abaye and Rava. And Chametz has some of its own dynamics as well, because of the lower bar of Bal Yimatzeh. Bal Yimatzeh doesn't actually require ownership. That's what Tosus is pointing out. So if Rabbi Yitzchak says that a mashkon is kanoi b'shas halva, so this shalo b'shas halva, or shalo b'shas halva, this b'shas halva, is at the very least matzoi to you. And so for Chametz, we always have to be on guard for either a higher standard or a lower standard. Bailos plus Rishos, or sometimes just Rishos. Right, that was the point that the Bali Atosos were making. Okay? This isn't the classical case of Kabbalah Sachrayos. If it was the case of Kabbalah Sachrayos, Hareu Kishalo. Another diuk that we had in Rashi, says, you know, chametz shenafla v'mapoles kimavuar dami, as long as it's shalosh tvachim, but tzarech sheyivatel belibo, somebody's going to come and be mefakeach alav es agal, and Rashi says v'nimtza over, it sounds like it's automatic, and again, that has to be evaluated in light of the early Rashi of mishay rageachad v'chasale v'over mishum bal yiroa. Okay, so a lot of very, very, very important Shas topics here. Avi, go ahead.
If we say it's not really Kimavur Dami, could that now explain Rashi?